Thanks for joining the Victory GP podcast today. We hope you are impacted and inspired by this message from Pastor Charlotte Quist.
Again, in this house, some people are like, they're so hyper in there. It's like so loud and so over the top and whatever. But do you know we got people in this house that have been healed from cancer? There are people in this house that have miracle babies. There are people in this house that have been rescued from the edge of suicide and depression. There's people in this house, and more than one, who have survived genocide in their nations and have had their entire families murdered, but God saved their life and has a purpose for them. There's people who have given everything to come to this country, and God has opened doors for them and made ways for them. There are people who are in positions of influence that they never would have dreamed, but God has called them into it, and they're desperately hanging on to him because they feel completely out of their depth. This is a house full of people that are passionately, desperately in love with God. And so that's going to look like something, right? We can't help but be passionate. And if you're not feeling it yet, it just might be that your breakthrough's not there yet. Your relationship hasn't developed to that point yet. But I'm telling you, to the degree that you let him in, you will experience it fully. There is something wonderful about letting God into every place of your life. And the stuff that you think he doesn't care about, he so totally does. And he cares about it in ways that sometimes kind of go outside of our understanding, the methods that he uses. And one of the methods that we're increasingly learning, this should have been like, we caught a clue a while ago, but it is through the family of God. It is through the families that he puts us in. He releases what he wants and what he desires through people. There's a place where we partner with him, and it's always God. He's always the source. It's always him who's producing whatever is coming out. It's God who releases the love. It's God who releases the grace. It's God who provides. It's God who heals. It's God who ministers life. It's God who encourages. It's God who rescues. But he does it through us. The entire New Testament is filled with stories of men and women who actually listened to the words of Jesus, who received him, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and truly went into all the world to preach the gospel. People who actually took Jesus at his word and believed it and did it. We're the product of that. We believers around the world are the product of people that actually took God at his word. If you're at all wondering what it is that we're studying on Tuesday nights, we're doing The Way of Life by Bill Johnson. And essentially the premise that we stepped into this week is that God has invited us. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. What are we supposed to pray? And he started off and he said, this is what you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's up there, but we're here. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's literally as simple as that. It is, what is it we're supposed to pray? What is it we're supposed to believe for? What is it we're supposed to be experiencing? It's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be, what is God's will? What is God's plan? When we understand who God is, what heaven looks like, when we experience the Father, we begin to put a draw on that and we just partner with him. And so when we release, prayer is just releasing back to God what's in his heart. When we're praying according to the word, when we're praying, we're not praying amiss, but we're praying according to the word, we're just putting a draw on what's in his heart already for us. And so what we're believing for and what we're stepping into as a house here is essentially, you know, he gives the example in the book and he gives the example in the video of a pastor, true story, pastor who was in a building project and was not a carpenter at all, but really wanted to help with the building project. And so he was finally given an assignment by the contractor, a simple assignment. I need you to cut like 100 boards of the same length. And so he cut the one board, it was 8 feet, right? Cut it 8 feet. There's like 150 people in the room. They're like, yes, I read. It's awesome when we all are on the same page. Except that you're going to be correcting me. It's not that. That's not what it said in the book. But he cut the first one the right length, and then he took the second board and put it on the first board and cut it, and then took the third board and cut it on the second. And so what happened was every board he cut was a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit until the final board was over 9 feet long instead of 8 feet long. And so the premise is that what happens if we compare ourselves as a church, as believers, to what the generation before was, or a couple generations of church history before us, we're measuring to a counterfeit. We're measuring to something that might be misaligned. We have to go back to the source. We have to go back to the original and line ourselves up with who Jesus is and what Jesus says and what Jesus did and what Jesus commanded. And we see the purest example of it in the book of Acts. So hello, I expect that we are moving into a book of Acts kind of season. God is doing stuff. And when we are hearing people that are being literally on death's door and God is raising them up, that tumors and broken bones are disappearing, that God is giving people jobs they didn't apply for, that he's supplying for people in miraculous ways, that there are women that are pregnant that we're told they never would be, that are delivering healthy children. There is something happening when we just cut the garbage and the religious crap out of it. Sorry, but seriously, go back to the source. We got to go back to the source. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? We got to take the pre-digested expectations out of it. And God asks us to live in a different way. We put a draw on what the word tells us. We put a draw on it and we say, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am choosing to believe that kind of God. I'm choosing to believe if I can see it in here, it's possible. I'm choosing to believe that when I receive the Holy Spirit, I receive power. There's something that's going to happen on the inside of me. And it really doesn't matter how many people want to debate online whether or not speaking in tongues is of God. I need the power of God to survive this life, right? I need it. I got to have it. And so when we lean into that and he begins to give us instructions, we see things that make sense. And so this morning, we're continuing on with our series that wasn't going to be a series, but it turns out it is, on the family. We are family. And this concept that God's moving us into, he asked us this summer to concentrate on the family, right? Not just people's individual families, but the family. And it is a word from God for us. It's an instruction that completely lines up with the first church. It completely lines. If we say we want to go back to the original, that's the original. The original was people who actually lived in a level of care for one another that was, it allowed God to show his heart. It allowed him to minister who he is. When we start praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. God himself, three in one. God is a built-in family. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and everything he does happens in family. When you look at the beginning of the book, you know, Genesis, God made the earth, made it perfect. Everything was good. Everything was good. Everything was good. He made Adam, one guy. And you'd think if God just wanted somebody to talk to, he could have just left it there. But God looked at Adam and went, it's not good that he's alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. And that is like, it's a hint to us that it's, problematic sometimes for men to be alone. But I'm kidding. It is a little bit, actually. Sometimes if I'm gone for a while, I come home and Wayne's eaten nothing but cans of beans and licorice. So it is a little bit of a problem for men to be alone sometimes. Anybody else? You got your go-to in your house? All men can make beans and toast. This is a thing. But God was saying, he built into us, we are meant to be in community. He built in right from the very first of humanity, it is not good for us to be alone. So he created family right off the bat so that there was a fullness and there was a wholeness in this. This is how God has designed us. It's how we see, when we get the picture in heaven and we see the angels and we see the elders and we see the people around the throne. And, you know, if you're reading Revelation, you see a group of beings that all have their own jobs that together are this amazing, beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. what the issue is, and we've been talking about culture in this house and how, you know, every family has a culture. The family culture is, this is how we do things here. This is what you, when you connect with me, this is what you're going to experience. This is what you're going to expect. And the culture is either it's determined by us, it's deliberate, or it's what we allow. It's what we create and make happen, or it's what we let just drift in. And what I see in a commercial like this is that if we're in the church and we're not connecting on a heart-to-heart level, it means that we have allowed the natural culture to drift in. And so God is in this season, he's asking us to do something different. And we have to choose to deliberately create a space for God to show his heart. His heart is that we love one another. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago or last week, I don't remember, but you know, when Jesus said, when the world sees how you love one another, they give glory to my Father in heaven. That's the flow of the kingdom. When we say, your kingdom come, your will done, one of the ways that that happens is when we actually choose to love each other in that way. And so we're having to be very deliberate about that. Our culture, in a general sense, is pushing us the opposite direction. So we have to swim upstream and decide to go the other way. And that culture is going to be something that we're pursuing in this house together as a family. And it's something that should you choose to, it will begin to drift home with you into your own personal life. And that's where it gets really exciting, because that's when it multiplies. That's when stuff begins to happen and God can show himself. He can show his heart. His heart is not that anybody is alone. His heart is that we are part of something that allows us to see God through the relationship of one another. And it's an incredibly beautiful thing. And so our culture points up until now. Let's just read through from the beginning. Our statement as a church, Victory Church, let's read it together. Victory Church Grand Prairie is a multi-generational, multicultural family, passionately pursuing God and his purposes on the earth. And in this family, number one, in this family, we put God first. That means when the Holy Spirit is nudging that somebody needs to make a commitment to Christ this morning, and now's the time, we don't pause and go, well, the kids are supposed to be released in 3 minutes, so let's just, because you know what? That person matters to God. We put God first. In this family, number two, we show hospitality. We welcome everyone. We love well. We love because he first loved us. We show open-hearted welcome, right? Hospitality, its true definition, open-hearted welcome. So we need to determine to do that. That's making a space for somebody to come into your life. It is literally possible to be in a church for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and never have opened your heart to another person. That's a super lonely place to be, but it's possible. We can self-protect because of the things that we've experienced in life, the hurts that we've had, the ways people have abused us or compromised our safety in some way. Sometimes we can just decide, I'm just going to leave the guards up. And it's incredible how lonely you can feel in a crowd. It's like worse than being actually alone. Being alone in a crowd is devastating. And we are purposing in this house because not we're so great, but because God is telling us that this is something he wants us to pay attention to. We are purposing to make space for everyone, to be open-hearted in our welcome. And we're going to keep at it. This is going to, because we're going against natural culture, it's going to take a bit. And it's going to take as many of us as possible getting on board. I love, I'm like kind of a Facebook creep. So I love when I can see Sunday afternoon people post pictures of the, you know, that we went out for lunch with these people or having coffee with these people. I'm like, yes, that is awesome. You know, when I see connection actually happen, it so excites me because it's matching up with the description of what God has given this church for this season. So if we're going to open our hearts to people, that can be something where it's just like, okay, now I opened my heart out to somebody. I welcomed them in and I found out, holy cow, they've got issues. They might have went home from the meeting thinking the same thing. This is a surprise. But, you know, sometimes we open it up and it's like, well, that was weird. Okay, moving backwards again, you know. I tried it. I'll do one weekend a month. And then I'm going to, you know. But God is asking us to take the next step. So here we go. Number three. In this family, we support one another. We support one another. God puts the solitary in families. No one is meant to do life alone. We grow and thrive best in community. That is actually a biological fact as well as a spiritual fact. It is how God has made us to be. We will live our best lives when we're in a family that functions together. Now, the key here is the word in this family, support one another. That's not just, I'm behind you all the way. From here, woohoo, cheer. It means more than that. So let me just give you a definition. Support means to promote the interest or cause of someone or something. Our interest or cause is Jesus. Straight up. It's not anybody's personal home-based business or personal, you know, hobby horse or what. Our common interest and cause is Jesus Christ. So just there we have it. We support. It means to uphold or defend. It means when somebody is accused next to you, it means when they're in your family, you don't go, well, is that true? Did you do that? Oh my goodness. You first lean up next to them and go, wow. How did this happen? I'm happy to stand with you. What do you need me to do? We stand together because there's an accuser of the brethren that just loves to go. You know, I think it's so interesting. I think it's probably because I had said that we're doing a Bethel book for our Bible study or whatever, and Siri listens to you. And I suddenly have like all these like comments. Various people love to just pull down various ministries. And whether they pull down Bethel or Hillsong or, you know, the House of Prayer, the Global House of Prayer, or what, there's always somebody who's really ready to just attack and criticize and accuse. And we need to, in this family, we stand with one another and we uphold and we support. The next one, the next meaning is to assist and to help. That means actually leave the couch. I'll leave that there. To act with, to support is to act with, to actually do life with somebody. Sometimes, you know, some of our young moms or whatever, sometimes you just need somebody to help bounce a baby or change a bum for once. Like just, you just need some help. Some of our older people just need somebody to just have coffee with them or help change the furnace filter or just like life stuff, right? To act with. Support means to hold up. To hold up, to actually come alongside and to hold up, which goes with the next one, to keep from fainting, yielding, or losing courage. To support somebody is to keep them from fainting, yielding, or losing courage. I love the story of how, you know, when Joshua was out fighting the battle, and Moses was holding his hands up over the fight. And the word tells us that as long as Moses held his hands out, as long as he stretched his hands over the battle, they won. And every time his hands went down, they began to lose. And so God, instead of strengthening Moses' hands, he caused the sun to stand still. He gave the soldiers supernatural. He's done all sorts of stuff in battle situations. But in that situation, instead of just strengthening Moses to stand there all day and all night, he actually sent Aaron and Hur to come and hold his hands up for him. Because that's how God thinks. That's how God, he wants to show himself by sending other people alongside to go, I know you think you can't go, but I'm here with you. We're going to go one more day. You can stand one more day. You can hang on one more time. Let's pray. I know you feel like you've prayed your face off, but let's pray one more time. We're putting a draw on this. I know that you thought that there was going to be a complete miraculous healing and it seems to be going a different direction, but you know what? We're still standing in faith and let's pray together. And I know you might feel like you're too tired to pray right now, but I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to do the thing that's necessary right now. You're not quitting today. You're not stopping early. You're not leaving the race. You are not going to abort this thing that God put on your heart. You are not going to fail. You are not going to lose. The enemy does not get the last word. I am with you. I am standing with you because God sent me and he's knit our hearts together and we are family. See, that's necessary. And that's how God wants to show off. And the word tells us that when that happens, people give glory to the Father in heaven. That's not about, look at these people. Oh, isn't that a nice group of people? It's not just self-driven, it's God-driven. There is an anointing, like we talked about last week. There is an anointing to be a family, and we have to choose to step into it. We have to partner with it. The final definition here for support, to hold, to keep from fainting, yielding, or losing courage. And the final one is to pay the costs of. Literally, practically, sometimes those who have need to help those that have not. And that is how God provides. That's saying, well, is that just a people issue? No, that is, God gives us the ability to make wealth. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, but he provides through people sometimes. When the groceries show up on the right day, when the rent is paid on the right day, when you get that little thing that you need to be able to buy the medicine that you need, or you need, that is God. When somebody comes in, and I mean, Wayne and I in our lives have had so many people so into our lives at the moment where we've been deciding, you know, early on in our marriage, like everybody's early on in their marriage sometimes, and sometimes further on down the road. But there's times when you're having to decide between groceries or tires so that you can get to the job, so that you can make the money to buy the groceries. And God always shows up, but it's never just magical things that appear. It comes through people who decide to listen to the voice of God and be obedient, and it's the practical stuff. And you might feel like, I feel strange giving you this, but it's, you know, it's something that I feel the Lord led me to do. You know, this week, it was so fun in our house. I should talk about food more often. We had the best baking, didn't we, babe? Wow. Cookies of multiple flavors showed up at our house this week. And not only that, We had all this homemade jam, and then somebody sent fresh bread. I'm like, we've never eaten so good. This is phenomenal. And I'm sure that, like, just it might seem weird to give somebody jam, but when you don't know that somebody else just gave us a loaf of bread, it's amazing. So what's the one thing? God puts it on your heart to just do one little thing. And I know this might seem strange, right? But you don't know what the other side of that is. So God puts us together to do those sorts of things. Bradley needed the $80. Why? Because he needed to hear from God that when you're obedient to me, I got you covered. I'm always giving you an instruction for a reason. Maybe that person felt like $80 wasn't that much, but to Bradley, it sent a message. It wasn't so much about the money as it was about the message that God valued the obedience. How cool is that? So let's look at the verse that goes along with this. In this family, we support one another. I'm really excited about this topic. I'm sorry. I just realized I'm like, whew. This scripture gets used partially often, and it's very important that we pick it apart into its entirety. So we're going to read from Psalm 68, verse 6, and this is the passage that culture statement is from. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And there's this thing, like we tend to just grab that first part. Most of us who have been in the church for any length of time have seen that. God sets the solitary in families. And so we can drift into, so that means like single people or, you know, older people or isolated people. No, solitary units. He puts his kids in groups with others of his kids to become a family who can say, our Father who art in heaven. We share the same dad. And so we want to release his kingdom plan, his domain on the earth. And we as a family who share the same dad want to represent our dad well. And we together get to experience a lot better than any one of us alone does. It's not necessarily talking about biological families. It's talking about God takes somebody who's his kid and puts them with other of his kids, and they become something that looks like him. They become something that looks like him. And so the breakdown here, I think, is so interesting because it actually has semicolons between three chunks there. So if you see that, it could be a period after the families. It could be a completely different verse. It could be whatever. But when there's a semicolon, it means that you can take each verse or each phrase as standalone, but they are related to each other. They're connected to each other. Therefore, the semicolon just brings them all together. So each phrase, it's okay to take it by itself, but the whole thing is understood better together. So God sets the solitary in families. Therefore, he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. What that means is God is actually connecting the solitary with those who are bound and families with prosperity. Do you see that? The way the sentences line up, God has set the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. The bound there, it's talking about those who can, you're limited. There's a limit to what you can experience. There's a limit to what you can sense. There's a limit to what you can do. There's only so much. But when God brings you into a family, he brings you into prosperity. And that is a brilliant concept. It's when you look at your life and you go, can you imagine? Candy's like a beautiful worship dancer. Candy without musicians, that's just strange a little bit, right? Kind of, you know? Or just your random singers. If, you know, you just have people just singing, but there's no musicians or whatever. If, you know, I'm somebody who's like, I'm on the welcome team. I love just greeting people. That's sort of odd. Can you imagine? You're standing at the end of your driveway, just like shaking hands with everybody out for their bike ride in the evening. Nice to meet you. I mean, maybe that's somebody's calling. I should just leave. Okay. It says he brings out those who are bound and brings them into prosperity. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is not saying because you come to this church, now we're going to be handing out Rolexes or Mercedes at the door. You're going to have to choose on your way out because our family is making sure everybody is prosperous. The word prosperity here is almost always translated everywhere else as peace. Shalom. It's the word shalom. And it's the word that means wholeness, completeness, nothing missing. Wholeness, completeness, and nothing missing. What it's saying is that God brings the solitary, he sets the solitary in families. And note there, it's God sets them in families. Not they surfed around and decided which worship band they liked best, and so they decided to stay there for a little while until they get annoyed and go somewhere. God sets the solitary in families. I really encourage people, each one of us, it's about asking God, where do you want me to be part of a family? And when I'm part of that family, I dig in. If I've been sent here, then that's where I am. He sets the solitary families and he brings out those who were bound or limited or held back into a place of wholeness, into a place of completeness, into a place of nothing missing. Isn't that so interesting then when we look at the early church in Acts chapter 4, and it says that everybody shared what they had and did what they could and nobody was without. They had wholeness. They had completeness. They were experiencing the fullness of what it meant to be God's kids. We get to experience. See, I didn't get what Pastor Bernie got this morning when we're talking about forgiveness, when we're praying the prayer of salvation. That was something. There's another piece, another layer to add to the mix. You know, I didn't have the revelation that Kyle had when he did the offering and he shared about Gideon. That's another layer to the mix. We all have something to add. I have learned, honestly, and I apologize if I've met you for the first time and you've thought I'm super weird. I've been telling people lately, I'm a really good second introduction person. Like when somebody can come to me and say, hi, I'd like to introduce you to so-and-so. They've been in the church this long. They are looking for a whatever. Because I have found that for me, I come up to people and I'm like, hi. And then I don't really know where to go from there. So I just start talking and then I leave conversations and I'm like, oh my gosh, what was that? I don't even know. It just came out of my mouth. I need to like stop talking to people. But if somebody can introduce me to somebody, I'm great after that. So if you want to meet me, please have somebody introduce you to me. And I'll try not to butcher it, but there's people who are great at first-time connections. There are people who are like, yay, there's somebody new in the room. I can't wait to go meet them. And I at this point, I'm just like, don't let me screw it up. Don't let me say anything weird. Like, it takes all of us to experience the fullness together, right? You with me? So that prosperity is wholeness, completeness, nothing missing. It means that there is prosperity or wholeness found in God's family dynamic. It's how he has designed us to function. And Psalm 35:27 says, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. It's not just talking about money. He's like, when you get to experience the full thing that I actually designed, it brings me glory. It brings me joy. It's so incredible that we get to see the kingdom released this way. It's something that we choose. And it's something that then we begin to feel trickle into our personal family lives. Right? Because your kids will understand, whether they understand it mentally or they experience it personally, physically. They understand whether our church family is a good thing or some place that we go once a week. And the difference will determine their future walk with God. It really will. The prosperity of your children is going to depend on whether you let them know their family or not, whether you invite the family into the mix. It's an interesting thing. You know, we've got a family dynamic in our family where, you know, my extended family never really got together for Christmas or Easter, you know, never special any occasions, you know, that other families get together. So now that everybody's like grown-ups and they try and do family reunions, all of the people my age are like, why? Like, they're complete strangers. We share the last name, but that's about it. I have no heart connection with them, right? Now, on the other side of the family, where there's been a lot of heart connection, and then somebody says, well, let's get together for a supper or whatever, of course we're doing it. And it's just a natural thing that you tie together for that sort of stuff. In our experience in the church here, and I know it hasn't been everybody's experience, but in our experience in the church, we were unbelievably Kelly and Mel's age, kind of, maybe a little younger when we started in the church here, and way over our heads with what God was asking us to do. And the church was growing pretty rapidly and we didn't know what we were doing. And so literally the only way we survived was because of the family that was within the worship team. And our kids, I mean, literally we would walk into the church, they would disappear somewhere and we would pick them up on the way home. It was a smaller building, so please don't do that here. But, you know, there was this thing where it was like, well, you know, Auntie so-and-so's going for ice cream. Can I go with them? And yes, we'll be here for at least another hour. For sure, you can do that. Our kids called everybody on the worship team Auntie and Uncle so-and-so. And so when the worship team, I mean, we did a recording project in our house. And, like, that's a weird experience. It was in the basement. And so literally, I would just say, like, there's the kitchen. Do what people would be there entire weekends, and just we'd take a break and come upstairs, and it was like somebody was baking something or cooking something or whatever, and everybody was eating and hanging out and visiting and whatever. What that means then is that when you go through the hard stuff, there's something to pull on, and everybody just dives in and helps. Somebody needs a rescue package right now. We are all in. We are doing this. So we experience that, and not everybody else has. I believe that's why my kids still love God, honestly, because we were busy in the church. And so many pastors' kids, well, you know, you hear that thing. It's like, well, the parents are busy at the church all the time. Well, if it's a family, it's doable. Honestly, it's survivable because your kids love the house of God. They love hanging out with their brothers and sisters and cousins. It's a big, happy thing. I believe God wants this generation to be the kind of generation where everybody's kid loves the house of God. where this is a fun place to be because stuff is happening. Where they're gonna be the ones that they go to college and go, wow, the church I grew up in, like there were miracles every single week. Like God just showed up and we got to serve people. I remember when we did these barbecues and we would just like bless people and serve and we would help in different, and it was so fun. What a place to grow up. I believe that's the testimony God wants to have of this house. Not because he wants us to be so great, but because he wants to show his heart. His heart is for us to connect. Now, the final part of this verse then is an interesting one. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And the word rebellious there literally means to turn away, to withdraw, to slide back, or here's the big one, hang on, to be stubborn. What that means to me is when God tells us to focus on one another for his glory, he's telling us that family is a priority right now. He's telling us that he wants to show his heart and that what he's about to do requires the net of a family to be able to hold it and work with it. When he's telling us that if you want the book of Acts results, you got to live a book of Acts kind of lifestyle, it means that sitting back and going, well, we'll wait and see, is not going to cut it. It means that all of us have to decide, and whatever the experience has been in the past, whatever you have or have not experienced, you know what? It's a new season. Move on, kindly. Yeah, I'm serious. We have to move on. If we have felt unloved or less loved, less cared for in the past, That is not okay, and that is why we repented for it as a house last week. But from now on, we are responsible for our own response to this question and this verse and this statement. God, do I believe that you set me in this family? And if so, I believe that without this family, there's a level of bondage or limitation that I can't experience because you have not given me all the pieces to the puzzle. And so I need this family. I need what they have to offer, and they need what I have to offer. And you might have one of the most abstract gifts ever. It's needed. I watched last week, one of our office team members was really attacked with a medical issue, and she had that thing where, you know how sometimes technology just comes up and slaps you in the face? And so yeah, I do it all the time. Wayne nicely reminds me it's usually user error, but I'm sure that's only my case. But in her case, there was like this, basically she had done a ton of work, and then it turned out that she had to do it all over again from scratch. And so she's in tears and physically struggling and, you know, really, really fighting against this thing. And I watched one of our other single ladies from the church take her day off and come in and go, it's okay, I got you. And she, I don't think I can do this. I got you. I'm in here. And I walk past and there's a flurry of hole punching and copying. And it's like this like machine that's happening. And somebody else is running out to the store because we're out of paper and we're going to just poof, 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 stuff got done. But if it was left to our one team member, she might have just been on the floor all weekend, you know, just overwhelmed by it. But it took somebody going, I can punch papers. I can put together stuff. I can do this. I can do this. Do you know that is God's gift to us to see his heart? When he goes, Pastor Paul has preached this for years, everything you need is in the house. The problem is a lot of what we need has been in locked up cupboards. It's about time we blow the doors off. Let's figure out what we got and make something with it. I'm the queen I make surprise meals. What that means is I hate the control of a recipe. I find it very limiting. And so I know, right? It's sometimes good, sometimes not. But what I love to do is go to the pantry and go, okay, what do I got? And we start with something. And if I can add this and I can add this and I can add this and modify that, I bet that's going to actually taste good. But none of those things alone are any good at all. Those things together, suddenly we're eating something good. And it's so great when it's family dinner and my kids go, Mom, what's in this? I don't actually fully remember. I'll try and remember it as best as I can. And no, we probably can't have it a second time because I'm not sure. But what's in the house? What is here that God has given us? I want to finish this morning with 1 Corinthians 12, and we're just going to go right down to verse 23. You with me here? It's good. In fact, we'll start at verse 20. I'm just trying to find my spot here. I'm sorry, Colleen. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Not just, oh, we like you. Necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. That word schism there is a weird one. It literally means split or gap. So when God says that there is wholeness, when he puts individuals into families, he brings them out of bondage, into prosperity, into wholeness. God's saying that if one part is missing, there's actually a gap. It's outside of his plan. If somebody's piece is taken out of it, there's a problem. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. That is there a church program for that? I cannot mandate connection. It's personal choice. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Wow. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So we have this choice in this season. God is inviting us into a place where we can actually put him first, decide that his ways are higher than my ways or our cultural norms. I can decide that his plan is better. I can decide to give an open-hearted welcome to the people that I encounter. And it's not always just new people. It might be somebody you've been sitting beside for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, and you actually don't know their story. It's probably time to learn. It's probably time to find out why they are the way they are, what they've been through, and how we can help one another. And then it's time to decide that we're going to support one another. We're going to uphold. We're going to make sure that nobody loses their race, that nobody has to quit early, that nobody feels like they just can't go on alone, and they end up washing out into the silence. It's that thing where we actually go after one another. But I said last night, you know, there's that situation where, you know, Jesus went after the one for sure. But it's really helpful if the one actually bleats a time or two so that we know where you are. Like it's very helpful if you're actually on a search and rescue team, if somebody yells occasionally that they're there and they need assistance, you know? So it's a two-sided thing. If we're, you know, it's up to the body to make sure that everybody is cared for, but it's up to us as individuals to let the body care for us, right? It is okay to not be okay. It is okay to say, this is the day that my arms are falling down a little bit. It is okay. Do you know we actually have a special fund in this house? If you see it on your offering envelope called the Love Fund, that's just for in-house emergencies. You know, so if you don't have groceries or there's some little thing, like, let us know. Somebody in the body already gave to that. Somebody in the body already wanted to provide for that. But if we don't know that that's going on, we can't release it. It's that connection stuff that we get to choose to be part of. And so God's inviting us into this, and I personally think it's really fun because I love the idea of a church that's walking in the prosperity of God. This is a good thing. I'm going to have the worship team come.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Victory Church on the Rock, Grand Prairie. or you can visit us on the web at www.victorygp.com if you have any questions, would like to access our resources, or would like to sow into this ministry. You can also text to give. Just text 587-207-4387 and follow the prompting. Thanks again for listening to this message from Victory GP. Reach, teach, mobilize.